The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to The Punt Podcast. Dave Callner here alongside Lee Phelps, set for a fun midweek sporting action with the Champions League on Tuesday and Wednesday and the Europa League on Thursday. And the good thing about this Punt Podcast is we don't do naps on the midweek football podcast. We just save those naps for the weekend, so That's an added incentive for the listeners to tune in right the way through this podcast, Mr.
Very
Phelps.
True, very true. Let me apologise for my voice, first of all, because I've got a bit of a croaky voice today for some reason. I think it's celebrating all the winning bets over the weekend from the punt. Every bet I put up midweek is a nap.
Oh, is it?
I don't like this tag of the midweek man much. It just puts more pressure on my shoulders, but
I would say
I've been better midweek than weekend this season.
Well, I'd say just about.
It's a low bar.
You're not even you could limbo under that this particular bar.
True.
Let's get stuck in then straight away, because we do have eight matches to preview on this podcast, and we'll start off with Juventus versus Monaco, which is 7:45 p.m. kickoff on Tuesday. Juventus 1-2. The draw is 11-4. Monaco in the betting at 7-1. To qualify, Juventus 2-7, Monaco in the market at 5-2. Juventus 12 points clear in Serie A, despite that shock loss against Parma at the weekend. They beat Borussia Dortmund 5-1 on aggregate to reach the quarters. Monaco, of course, came through against Arsenal, holding on in the dying stages there. Both sides seeking a first appearance in the semi-finals in more than a decade, so both these clubs have been away from the closing stages for quite a while now. Monaco have never won in Italy, Lee, in their history. And it could make them wary against this Juventus side, who have won all 10 of their knockout matches against French opposition.
Yeah.
Looks set for Juventus, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, I can't see that changing much, to be honest with you. I think when I watched Juve beating Dortmund, dismantling them, really, I suddenly started to think, well, maybe they're an outside shout to get to the final here if one of the big boys slips up at some point. They've got that defensive mindset, I think, where they can play two ways. They can go out and attack, which I think they'll do against Monaco, or they can just sit in and try and hit on the brakes. Got some quality players in this side, not least Carlos Tevez, who, you know, this is his best Champions League campaign. 6 goals so far, 2 behind Messi and Ronaldo. And just before we get on to talk about the match in any more depth, I think 25-1, each way bet, top scorer, is a decent bet.
Okay.
He's 2 behind Messi and Ronaldo. Now, you would imagine both of those players are going to go on to at least the semi-finals, maybe the final, and maybe one of them win it. So you've got to bear in mind. But, you know, one of those could go out. You know, Barcelona are playing PSG, Real Madrid are playing Atletico Madrid, both obviously very good teams. The others in between him and them in the betting, Karim Benzema, obviously, you know, same applies really with him and Ronaldo, and Luis Adriano, who's the leading scorer on 9, but he's in the clubhouse. He's 20-1. So, look, if they can get goals against Monaco, he might even be closer to them at the end of this stage than he is now. So just a little aside there. But, I mean, I'm looking at him to score the goals here for Juve.
19-20 is to score any time.
Which is a little bit short, but I like the headline offer. 7-4 for him to score in a Juve win. I think that's decent. He scored at the weekend again in Serie A. So, you know, just keeps rattling them in. And I think he could do it again here. Monaco, surely all Monaco have got in their mind is to get to the return leg at the same score they start this one.
Yes.
0-0. Now, if they can get an away goal, it's fantastic, but I can't see them getting an away goal. I just can't see them breaking down Juve. Juve are so strong, you know. They barely lose a game. I know that game in Serie A, but I think they've pretty much got the title wrapped up, and I think their eyes off the ball there. Champions League, you know, so good at home in the Champions League. 31 games at home, only 2 defeats in that run. It's brilliant. So they win this game. I'm not a big win to nil guy because, you know, what happens if a fluke goes in? But I think the win to nil could well land. But I'll go for that Tevez to score in a home win. Monaco have got a poor away record. And the goal scoring, if you take those 3 goals away that they scored at the Emirates when Arsenal were terrible, you know, they've scored 7 in total, 3 at the Emirates. They don't score enough goals to be able to beat Juve over 2 legs.
If you are looking at Juventus to win to nil, that's in the market at 5-6. Lee mentioned Carlos Tevez, who might be one of the game's biggest mercenaries, but he scores wherever he goes. Yep. And he's got a tremendous strike rate this season. Paul Pogba out for Juventus, which could be an issue because it's looking like one of Sir Alex Ferguson's biggest mistakes, letting him go on a free transfer after falling out with him. And now they're talking about signing him back in excess of £40 million, so that looks like an error, but he'll be a big miss for Juventus.
Yeah, he will, but they've got plenty of great players, of course, in there, so, you know, the likes of Vidal, etc. I think they will miss him, but, you know, let me look at this 11. Buffon, Bazzagli, Bonucci, Chiellini, Lichtsteiner, Marchisio, Pirlo, Vidal, Evra, Morata, yeah, and Tevez. So that's a possible 11. It will be a miss, but... yeah, well, fingers crossed for Juve and their fans that he's fit for the return leg.
Juventus 1-2, the draw 11-4, Monaco in the market at 7-1. The headline offers there, as mentioned by Lee, likes the look of Tevez to score in Juventus. Is that your best bet, Tevez and Juventus,
yeah,
to win 7-4?
That's my nap in this match.
And the other headline offer there, Dimitar Berbatov to score and Monaco to win is 20-1. On to the Madrid derby now. Atletico Madrid versus Real Madrid, Tuesday, 7:45 p.m. Inseparable as far as William Hill are concerned. Atletico Madrid 17-10 to win the game. The draw 21-10. Real Madrid 17-10. The qualification prices have changed considerably since the market opened. Madrid were much shorter to qualify. Has been a lot of cash for Atletico Madrid. Real Madrid were a lot shorter to qualify. Has been a lot of cash for Atletico Madrid in the qualification market. It's now 1-2 Real. Atletico in the market at 6-4. This, of course, Mr. Phelps, a repeat of last season's Champions League final.
Yeah.
That Real Madrid won 4-1 after extra time. That game rescued by the Sergio Ramos a goal in the 90th minute after Diego Godin had opened the scoring. I'm sure it's one of Carlo Ancelotti's biggest disappointments that when he comes to the end of his spell, end of his tenure at Real Madrid, and looks back on his success there, he'll be disappointed with the record they have in these Madrid derbies, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, three successive clean sheets, haven't lost in any head-to-head against Real Madrid in 90 minutes, in seven. That includes the Champions League final. Which, you know, I think people forget. You look at the final score, it's 4-1. They dismantled them in extra time. But up until that point, you know, it was a pretty even game. And they had that 4-0 as well, didn't they? Not so long ago, when Real Madrid didn't have a shot on target in that game. Now, I've been looking back at some of the head-to-heads to see how dominant Atletico have been. And it's not like in those other games at Atletico, they beat them 4-0, 2-0 and 1-0 in the last three. One in La Liga, one in Copa del Rey and one in the Super Cup. All to nil. But Real Madrid did have chances. They had 11 shots in each of those previous two games, 3 and 5 on target respectively. Sooner or later they're going to score a goal away at the Vicente Calderon.
You'd think so,
well,
wouldn't you?
You know, the quality they've got in their ranks. You know, Ronaldo's just scored 8 in 4 since he was a grumpy boy about Gareth Bale. Remember when he was a bit grumpy about scoring a goal?
He hit the bar with a bicycle kick, didn't he?
Yeah.
And Bale capitalised, and then, he was spotted, yes, throwing his teddies out of the pram, wasn't he?
Well, since then, he scored against Barcelona in that defeat, and then he obviously scored 5 in that game against Granada. And he's been great since then. So I don't think Real Madrid will go into this game thinking, we must win this game. I think they're going to this game thinking, we must score a goal. That
okay.
away goal yeah. is massive for them, because they'll be confident going back home that they can beat Atletico Madrid with an away goal as well. Atletico will obviously want to do what they've done for the last three home games and keep them to nil. The interesting thing is, you know, you look at these head-to-heads we've got on our screen here. There's a load of head-to-heads. If you look at head-to-heads like that in English football,
yes,
that's like two seasons worth, isn't it? That's only this season.
Yeah. They've
two Super Cups, two Copa del Reyes and two in La Liga. Well, if you go back to the game before that, so the game from before the Champions League final last year, Real Madrid had scored 2 goals at the Vicente Calderon in successive games. They did it in the league when they won 2-0. They did it in the league game before that when they did it 2-0. So they were consistently scoring 2 or more goals away. And this is when Atletico Madrid had got to the Champions League final as well, by the way. So I think they can score.
There is a feeling that Diego Simeone has developed an uncanny knack of being able to stifle them ever since. Obviously, they were fortunate in that Champions League final, weren't they? To a certain extent, Sergio Ramos got that late goal and then That killed Atletico Madrid, and Real Madrid were too strong in extra time there. But he stifled them on that occasion. Then, as you mentioned, six meetings subsequently, he's managed to hold this Real Madrid side at bay, particularly at the Vicente Calderon. There's a couple of injury problems for Atletico Madrid, the big one being Mario Mandzukic is out, and he's scored twice against Real in their recent meetings. So that's a big concern for them. Gareth Bale might be back after his ankle injury kept him out against Eibar. There's still something not quite right there, is there, with Gareth Bale? He's got a lot of... He's coming for a lot of criticism from the publication Marca, and the BBC got involved, and then Marca attacked the BBC, and that completely spiralled out of control. And Ronaldo clearly doesn't like playing with Gareth Bale. It's evident in those performances, in my opinion.
Well, I just think maybe it maybe steals a bit of the limelight for him. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, we don't know what the ins and outs of it are, but what have you say about Gareth Bale? He scored 15 in 27 La Liga games last season. He scored 13 in 27 so far this season. What's not to like? You know, two already in the Champions League in seven. You know, and I just think, you know, he's doing great.
Those numbers do pale into insignificance when you compare them with Cristiano Ronaldo's
numbers,
don't they?
But he is the best player in the world, according to most people.
Cristiano Ronaldo?
Well, him or Messi.
Of course.
So you can't compare him. Gareth Bale isn't the best player in the world.
Gareth Bale came in for that huge transfer fee, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's an understudy, isn't he?
Maybe that's why Ronaldo's nose has been put out of joint.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, we'd have to ask him, wouldn't we? But I've got no idea why his nose is... I mean, he just has a bit of a grump on now and again, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's an understudy to Cristiano Ronaldo. So when he starts to look more like he isn't an understudy, Ronaldo maybe gets a bit cheesed off. Like if you were the lead actor in a... Imagine this. You're the lead actor in King Lear.
Okay.
And you get a bit of a sore throat like me.
Yeah.
And you have to stand down. And your understudy comes in and people are going, wow, this guy's almost as good as DK. In fact, he was better last night. You'd be cheesed off, wouldn't you?
Yeah, obviously.
You'd be annoyed. So maybe that's what it is. But, you know, Ronaldo's still the man, isn't he? And if they're both scoring, who cares? You know, that massive win they had the other week, that 9-1. I think it was funny because like Bale scored the opener and then Ronaldo hit a hat trick inside the first half. It's like, yeah, sonny, this is what I can do. I think they'll be hell bent on scoring a goal here, and I think they can do it. To be fair, one thing about Atletico it's worth bearing in mind, and it might be worth having a look when the prices become available, is their disciplinary record is really poor. They've got the most yellow cards in the Champions League.
This is where you have your success as well. It's worth it if someone's tuning in for the first time and they wonder. Yeah, good afternoon, first of all. They wonder, does this guy have betting success ever? I mean, some regular listeners might be thinking the same thing as well.
Well, over 1.5 first half goals is what I'd say to those people.
The cards markets is where you come into your own, Mr.
Well, not only the Man City game.
But it keeps landing every single time you mention it.
It does keep
which
landing,
is nice.
Yeah, which is good. They've had 25 yellow cards at Atletico and 109 fouls in the competition. Real Madrid have had 12 yellow cards and 63 fouls. So, you know, it's double that of Real Madrid. So it might be worth us having a look at Atletico Madrid to have the most bookings in the game. And that could shape the tie, you know, because you know, we know that, you know, if you're down to 10 men, you're missing a player for the next game and everything, then it could have a major bearing. So just want to bear in mind. But I'm going to go, I think Atletico could win the game. I think Real Madrid will score. If they score, that puts a lot of pressure on Atletico to go out and score more than Real Madrid in the first leg. I'm going over 2.5 goals. It's a pretty safe one. And that is just the other side of odds against. I think it's 23-20. I'll double check that. It was 23-20 earlier when I looked. But I like that. I think it's priced up like it doesn't happen. But it does happen in this game. You know, it's happened in three of the last four games between the two of them. Admittedly, all of them went to Atletico in the last game. 4-0, 2-2, 2-0 was the one it didn't land in.
It's 23-20.
Yeah. Like that?
Yeah.
That's my main bet for this game.
When you say the other side of odds against, you mean it's odds against?
I meant the other side of odds against is odds on. I meant the other side of odds
on,
obviously.
Okay. I like that. Over 2.5 goals, 23-20 is your main bet in that match.
Love it.
Let's move on to Wednesday's ties then. Paris Saint-Germain versus Barcelona first up. Again, 7:45 p.m. on Wednesday. Paris Saint-Germain, 100-30. The draw, 5-2. Barcelona are 17-20 to qualify. Barca 1-4, Paris Saint-Germain 11-4. Headline offers here: Edinson Cavani to score and PSG to win is 9-1. Lionel Messi to score and Barcelona to win in the market at 2-1. I'm looking forward to this tie more than any other, I think. But PSG's issues coming into this match can't be understated, really. They're without their strengths. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is out.
Yep.
Marco Verratti out, both suspended. Thiago Motta sidelined through injury as well. And given we saw how well balanced that midfield was against Chelsea, those are major problems. David Luiz out as well. It's going to be a tough evening for Paris Saint-Germain, an evening where I think they will gladly accept the point and hope they can go to the Camp Nou or the new Camp with still in the tie, basically.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was looking at this game and just thinking, like, it's just such a shame that they aren't at full strength for this leg. Ibrahimovic will be back for the return leg, I believe. And they've got a great record, PSG, at home. You know, since 2012, when I guess, you know, the money came in. 2 draws, 10 wins and no losses at home. Results like 3-2 and 2-2 against Barcelona in recent seasons. 3-1 and 1-1 against Chelsea. You know, and they're Mourinho teams. You know, it's a very good team, so they can cope. And I was so impressed with them against Chelsea. When they lost Ibrahimovic harshly, it just seemed to galvanise them, didn't it? Now, admittedly, they did have a lot of those players that you've mentioned, you know, in the team still. And they managed to somehow, you know, last out and get through in that game. And I think there's something about this PSG team. I really do. But then you look at Barcelona, don't you? And you just think, wow. You know, that. When they played in... the last time I watched a full Barcelona match was in El Clasico. And at times it was just mesmerising.
Yeah.
You know, the way they played, the speed that they played at was staggering. Although I haven't watched a full game since then, you know, obviously you keep an eye on the results and see what they're doing. And, you know, they're keeping Real Madrid at bay, aren't they? 2 points ahead of them in La Liga. Admittedly, they had a 2-2 draw with Sevilla.
2-0 up in that game.
Yeah, which, I mean, yeah, Messi, Neymar score, you think this is done and dusted. And almost got away with it. Maybe their eye was slightly off the ball. The problem for Barcelona in recent years has been their away form. Even during the Guardiola years, they always did the job at home. I just wonder if they can get a result in Paris, then they'll coast through, I think. You know, in 2009, they lost 1-0 away to Bayern Munich. In 2010, they drew 2-2 at Arsenal. 2011, they beat Shakhtar 1-0. In 2012, they drew 0-0 in Milan. 2013, 2-2 in Paris. And last year, they lost 1-0 at Atletico. So one win at the quarter-final stages in the last 6 attempts. And Barcelona, you know, can you take them to win the game with that record? I'm not sure I can, to be honest with you. I mean, 17-20 is a very, very short price about a team who've only won one of their last 6 away quarterfinals, even when they were a better team than this. So I'm not sure. The problem is that I can't back PSG with all the problems that they've got.
No, that is the problem facing the punters, isn't it, as well, I think.
And how do they go about this now? How do PSG go about it? Do they go about it and think, right, we'll be ultra defensive and try and just nick a goal on the break? Or do they try and go for it? I don't think they will. They have the ability with the players missing to sit back.
That's the problem. And I've been reading a lot of reports from sources close to PSG in terms of journos, and
Le Source.
They are saying that Marquinhos is likely to play as a centre half, and Gregory Van der Veel is going to come in at right back, and he apparently is very suspect defensively.
Yeah.
And Neymar's playing on the left-hand side of that three. He might be able to exploit that, obviously, if he does have troubles defensively. And with Suarez and Messi in there, no David Luiz, I think they've got big issues at the back.
Yeah, they have.
And they've not got the protection of Verratti or Thiago Motta in midfield either. I was like you. I came into when looking at this match, I was thinking, oh, you've got a PSG unbeaten in 33 home games. You've got to be in all competitions. You've got to be with them in some shape or another. But personnel problems.
But they always come up with the goods.
Could be insurmountable.
They always come up with the goods, though, somehow. I'm not sure how they do it.
What do you think, then?
I think there'll be goals in the game. Like I said, I just don't... 17... If Barcelona were the right side of odds of even money, then I probably would back them. It's just that odds against I need them at odds against. I can't be backing them at 17-20, given that record. They know they don't need to do it. They can just score score an away goal. I was looking at over 3.5 goals in the match.
9-4.
It's landed in each of the two games that they've played, 3-2 and 2-2. But again, similar to other Champions League quarterfinals, if Barcelona get an away goal, PSG have to come out. And I think Barcelona will definitely score. I think it could be a really open game, this one, especially because of PSG's problems defensively. I quite like the over 2.5.
10-11.
And I probably would have gone for that had it been a normal, if PSG had been stronger. But because they're weaker in defence, I think Neymar at 6-4 is a great bet, because of exactly what you said. You have to be the top of your game to deal with Neymar.
And you know what? I love Luis Suarez to get a goal in this game. I'd look away from Lionel Messi, because Suarez, he's stated publicly that this is his goal. He wants to achieve Champions League success. That's the main reason he moved to Barcelona. That and the money, obviously. The main reason he went to Barcelona was to achieve Champions League success. And he wants this more than he wants a La Liga title.
Yeah. I think he's 5-4.
Slightly shorter, yeah.
Yeah, 5-4.
5-4.
So it's 19-20 Messi, 5-4 Suarez, and 6-4, which is fair, I think. I'll go with that over 3.5. I think we could have a very entertaining game. I'm not sure if I was pushed, I'd go Barcelona to win the game on the outrights, just because of the team news and because of that three pronged attack they've got. I'll stick with them.
Porto versus Bayern Munich next Wednesday, 7:45 p.m. Porto 4-1, draw 11-5. Bayern Munich 5-6 to qualify. Bayern Munich 1-8 to qualify for the semis. Porto 9-2. Christian Teller is part of that headline offer, but I don't think he's going to be involved because he's set to miss out. He's got a thigh tear, Christian Teller, so he might not be involved. Look at Thomas Muller to score and Bayern to win. That's in the market at 3-1. What would you say Porto's primary strength is, Lee?
Home form and goals at home.
Attacking prowess, I think, just and like you said, especially at home.
But to be fair, the defensive record domestically and in the Champions League this season has been brilliant as well. You look at their recent results, you have to go back to the 14th of December to find their last home defeat, and that was to Benfica. Incidentally, they've lost to Benfica and Sporting this season at home. The two best teams, apart from them, in the division. If you go back from that last defeat, they've won a total of 10 on the trot, and they've conceded 2 goals.
They have, but you mentioned they've lost to Benfica and Sporting Lisbon as their two defeats. You can look at that both ways. They're two of the top sides in Portugal, or they can't get results against two of the top sides in Portugal, and they're coming up against the best side in Europe here.
That's exactly what I was about to come on to. You're right. I think they're a good side, but I don't think they're a top side. And I don't think they'll keep Barcelona. I don't think they'll keep Bayern Munich out either. I mean, Bayern Munich's away form has been brilliant recently. They've just got through a tricky away cup match against Bayer Leverkusen in the last away match. That was on penalties, but they beat Borussia Dortmund, beat Werder Bremen, beat Hannover, Paderborn. You know, they're scoring goals for fun ever since they drew 0-0 in Shakhtar, which was a bit of a blip, I suppose. You know, you looked at that game and they could have won it. It was behind closed doors. It was a really feisty game. Shakhtar would. It was like an old-fashioned game. But Porto, I just think that as well as struggling there, that I think they always struggle. Obviously, they've had the past successes, but I think they struggle when they against this type of opposition in the Champions League as well. They've done nothing wrong this time, though. I mean, scored 21 goals, conceding 5. Now, 14 of those 21 did come against Basel and Bate Borisov. I'm not sure they can keep him out. I do think they'll score, though. I think they can score against Bayern Munich.
We've not talked about injuries as well here, because I mentioned Christian Teller might be out for Porto. Bayern Munich, even though they've got incredible squad depth, they're missing 3 really key personnel on Wednesday night. Bastian Schweinsteiger, Frank Ribery, both going to be out for this match. Iron Robin out for at least another month as well. Though, I mean, no side in the history of world football can cope adequately without 3 players of that calibre, really. Yeah. So that's got to be taken into consideration here.
True. I was reading an article about that, the fact that Lewandowski's kind of almost taken it as a bit of a... the fact that, oh, great, I can get back in on this. And I think he's eyeing up the... top goal scorer berth in the Bundesliga. He scored two in the weekend against Eintracht Frankfurt in a 3-0 win. And the man you mentioned, Thomas Muller, whenever he's in a team, he just looks like he's like Frank Lampard plus, isn't he? You know, Frank Lampard always seems to pop up or seemed to pop up and score. You know, and I always think Muller's like that. I think they'll beat Porto here. I think Porto will be too open for Bayern Munich. I think the way they play, they'll look at getting goals. I mean, realistically, Porto can't be thinking, right, we're going to go away and get a big result in Munich. They can't be. I mean, you know, they haven't had many good results, full stop, you know, in recent years away from home. So they have to win the game at home, in my opinion. Mm. And that means they have to score goals. And I think that'll suit Bayern. I think Bayern will just be able to sit in if they want to and then, you know, hit on the break. And whoever plays up front for them, I think they've got such quality that they will at least score, you know, I think they can get two goals here. In fact, I was looking at, just comparing this game to a previous game, Bayern Munich at 5-6 to beat Porto compared to Barcelona at 17-20 to beat PSG. I'd much rather be on Bayern Munich at the price.
Fair comment.
And I think I'm going to go for Bayern Munich to win and both teams to score as well at 3-1.
Okay. I like it.
Don't need to win the game. That's an obvious thing. You don't need to win the game, Bayern Munich. But I think, you know, the division, the home stuff's done and dusted.
They're not invincible, are they, this Bayern Munich team? When we were talking about them in the Champions League a couple of seasons ago, they looked invincible, didn't they? They really did. But this season, they've lost to two of their main protagonists in the German Bundesliga, lost to Wolfsburg and lost to Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Yep.
Maybe not as formidable as they once were, Bayern Munich, but Porto, not in the same league, really.
No, I don't think so. I think if you compare the Bundesliga to the Primeira Liga in Portugal, I think the Bundesliga is better. Deeper, anyway. It's got, you know, there's a deeper quality there. So, yeah, I'm going to go for... I think Bayern Munich can win this. Wouldn't be surprised if Muller gets on the score sheet. He's on penalties, of course. He's been in, you know, scoring form recently. So I'm going to trust that Bayern Munich are going to get on it here. Obviously, the manager knows all about this stage of the Champions League. And notwithstanding the fact that they don't need to win the game, I'm going to trust that they do and go for Bayern Munich to win and both teams to score.
Good stuff, 3-1. Let's look at the Europa League. Spin through these four matches on Thursday. We'll start off with Sevilla versus Zenit St. Petersburg. Sevilla are 13-20. The draw is 3-1. Zenit St. Petersburg, 4-1. Fifth in La Liga, Sevilla. We've just mentioned their result against Barcelona at the weekend. Good result to come back from 2-0 down and draw 2-2. Zenit atop of the Russian Premier League. Unbelievable run from Sevilla at home, really. Yeah. Not being beaten at home since getting beaten by Real Betis. That was in the Europa League back in March last year, which is incredible, really.
Yeah, it is. And I was looking at this game before the weekend and I thought to myself, well, that's a great record, but they haven't played Barcelona or Real Madrid yet. And then they drew 2-2 with Barcelona. So, you know, you think, well, fair enough. They've played two of the top three and, you know, still going strong. They've done very little wrong, and they've got a real love for this tournament as well, haven't they? You know, of course, they've twice won it before in 2006 and 2007. In 2006, they beat Zenit on the way to reach the semi-finals actually and win it. I think that they'll have a confidence about this competition. They've just done very little wrong. The away form was an issue last season. Not that it really mattered in the end, but they seem to have corrected that this year, and they've been able to score goals away in the Europa League as well, which I think will give them some confidence. You know, you look at the 3-2 win over Borussia Mönchengladbach away from home. This is a team, as you've mentioned earlier in the podcast, who have beaten Bayern Munich.
Yes.
Then they went to Villarreal and won 3-1 as well. So, you know, and they're the next team down from them in La Liga. So I'm pretty confident that Sevilla can get the job done here. It's just how they do it. Do you remember, I don't know if you remember, DK, but at the start of the season, Zenit were unbelievable. You know, they were absolutely battering teams. They went through this really sticky patch in November. Now, they seem to be getting back on it. Admittedly, they lost to Torino in the Europa League in the previous round, but obviously got through. And the top of the table by 8 points in Russia. Just drew with Rubin Kazan last game, but that strike force that is formidable when it gets going of Hulk and Rondon. already managed 10 goals between them in Europe this season. And I don't think they can be taken lightly by Sevilla. Andre Villas-Boas has been pretty complimentary about Sevilla. And I think he maybe is building his team up to be the underdogs in this one, which, you know, obviously they are from a betting point of view. And I think he knows that. I'm not sure they'll score. I think Sevilla might do a job on them.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm looking at Sevilla to win the game and under 2.5 goals. Like a real job done. Because they know how this competition works, having won it and done so well. And I think, you know, the experience of those two previous wins...
I like the look of that price, actually. Sevilla to win in under 2.5 goals is 13-5. You compare that with Sevilla to win to nil, which is 8-5. It's a big boost on price there. I know you're not getting 3-0 and upwards, but you are getting the 1-0 and 2-0 in there.
I
quite like that.
I like it. I just think the experience of, like I said, 2006, 2007, and of course last year when they won it, they know that you cannot concede away goals. And I think that'll be utmost in their minds not to concede. And I think they'll just get the job done. So, I mean, you're taking a bit on trust that Zenit don't score because they have got good players and good attackers, but they've struggled in Europe to score the goals this season. Obviously dropped into the Europa League from the Champions League, went to PSV 1-0, went to Torino, lost 1-0. In the Champions League itself, I was really disappointed by them. I thought they could qualify from the group, but they failed to score against Bayer Leverkusen and in Monaco, and that's what cost them ultimately. So struggled to break down a Monaco defence. I think Sevilla have got an equally good defence. So yeah. Sevilla and under 2.5.
Dinamo Kiev versus Fiorentina. An ex Dinamo Kiev 7-5. The draw 21-10. Fiorentina in the market at 21-10. Qualification prices here. Fiorentina 8-15 to go through. Dinamo Kiev are 11-8 to go through. We've got another team with a formidable home record here. In Dinamo Kiev, top of the Ukrainian Premier League, 5 points ahead of Shakhtar Donetsk. They're up against a Fiorentina team who are fifth in Serie A, but have lost their last two comprehensively as well. Beaten 3-0 at home by Juventus in the Coppa Italia, and then 3-0 away at Napoli. And that was a bad result because Napoli, one of those teams challenging for that European spot alongside Fiorentina. Dinamo, of course, convincingly knocked Everton out of the competition in the previous round. Interesting tie this one, Lee.
It is, yeah. And they've both got good home form, actually. So it's going to be interesting. It could be a tie that's decided at one of the two home stadiums. Dynamo Kiev, just been in great form since the winter break, especially. You know, they're unbeaten for absolutely ages. And they've just been scoring goals as well. I mean, we saw them beat Everton 5-2, didn't we, in the Europa League, when, you know, Everton had that decent performance at Goodison against them, but you know, I just thought that they were so good, you know, away from, when they went to Dynamo Kiev, they just looked like they could score at will, and did so, you know, opened the scoring early and then just, you know, kept rattling the goals in all the way through the game against Everton, winning 5-2 in the end. So I think they look good. Their away form isn't great though. And I think that's why I said I think it'll be decided at home. They lost to Everton in the Europa League, as I said. Also lost to Guingamp 2-1. Beat Steaua Bucharest. Lost to AAB. You know, it's not convincing for me. And I think they know, again, they have to do the job at home where they've been scoring goals for fun, to be honest. I just wonder about Fiorentina away from home as well. I'm not sure they're the ones who can... I'm not sure they'll be trusting themselves away. I think they'll maybe look to keep it tight, which isn't really their forte. They probably would be better off just going hell for leather and trying to outscore Dynamo Kiev. But I think they will score, but I think Dynamo will win the game. They're so kind of cavalier, if you like, in their approach, you know. So I'm going to go for a Dynamo Kiev to win and both teams to score. I mean, the Dynamo Kiev to win price is all right on its own, 7-5. But I do think both will go for it. Mm. So 9-2 for Dynamo Kiev to win and both teams to score looks good to me.
Let's move on to the Europa League favourites here. Wolfsburg against Napoli. Wolfsburg are 4-5. The draw is 5-2. Napoli 7-2. Andre Schürrle to score and Wolfsburg to win is 3-1. Gonzalo Higuain to score and Napoli to win is 7-1. They've not been able to keep tabs on Bayern Munich at the top of the Bundesliga, but nicely clear of Borussia Mönchengladbach in second place in the Bundesliga Wolfsburg. And they've won 10 of their last 11 at home since that 2-0 defeat against Everton in the Europa League back in November. And Napoli, they arrested a poor run of form. They've been going through a bit of a barren spell before beating Fiorentina 3-0 in that Coppa Italia match we've mentioned. The great thing about Napoli is they've got Rafa Benitez at the helm, and he's got incredible European experience in knockout competitions, incredible record as well. Won the Champions League once, of course, and won this competition twice as well.
Yep, yeah. And I think they'll go there with his experience and try and get a 0-0 draw. You know, I think they'll try and shut Wolfsburg down, which won't be easy because, as you say, they do score goals. You know, you look at their home form in all competitions, and you know the 1-0 win against Freiburg in the cup back on the 7th of April was the first time they failed to score more than a goal since the 14th of December. You know, including four against Bayern Munich, which is unbelievable. You know, scored three against Inter. Went to Inter and still beat them 2-1. So you know they're not scared by Italian opposition, and I always like to look at how the divisions compare, and I think maybe Juve apart, I think the Bundesliga is probably better than the obviously Bayern Munich visit Juve, Bayern Munich win, and I think going every step down it, I think the German opposition is better than the Italian opposition. I think they've got more goals in them. I don't see how Napoli think they can go there and beat them. So I think Rafa Benitez, with his experience, will go there thinking we'll keep this very, very tight and try and nick a goal on the break.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at their away form in the Europa League, they've kept three successive clean sheets and they've kept four clean sheets in their five away games. They did concede two at Young Boys, which I'm willing to put down as a blip.
Reverse engineering.
Yeah. They conceded two. The last one came in stoppage time. But 2-0 win in Slovan Bratislava, 0-0 at Sparta Prague, 4-0 Trabzonspor, and 0-0 Dynamo Moscow. Now, none of those teams are quite the level of Wolfsburg, but I think that'll give them the confidence to go there and try and do that. He's a very disciplined manager, isn't he, Benitez? You know, not only in terms of discipline, in terms of, you know, cards, but also in terms of shape and defence. Picked up 8 yellow cards in their 10 matches. You know, that's half the amount of the next worst, if you like, in the remaining teams in the quarterfinals. Wolfsburg have 16. They've committed 17 more fouls than Wolfsburg, but they've got half the number of cards. Okay. So, tricky Italian mentality with that Benitez know-how in Europa League. I think they'll go there and shut up shop. I'm playing under 2.5 goals. I'm not going to go for a winner because I'm not quite sure. The draw in Napoli probably I'd have to go for. I think Wolfsburg. I'm not sure about if I'd have Wolfsburg as the favourites for the competition, to be fair. But under 2.5 is 23-20. So I'm going to play that, even if Wolfsburg managed to nick one.
A few quid on the 0-0 draw, 12-1.
Yeah. Hard to see Wolfsburg not scoring, isn't it? But, you know, very rare. I'm wondering when the last time they didn't score at home. It was against Everton, actually, at home in the Europa League. So it's doable, isn't it?
0-0 draw, 12-1 there. We finish off with Club Brugge versus Dnipro.
Oh, this is the one.
This is the one, isn't it? Club Brugge 19-20, the draw 9-4, Dnipro 16-5. Two teams, as you can see in the outright prices here with William Hill, both 14-1 to win the competition. Not expected to make much of an impact. Club Brugge are top of the Belgian Pro League, which if you're looking at the Pro League, it's just split into three groups, basically. It's a weird, convoluted system they've got in Belgium. But Club Brugge are basically top without delving too deeply into things. Dnipro third behind Dynamo Kiev and Shakhtar Donetsk in the Ukrainian Premier League. Only 19 games gone in that division as well. 8 points behind the leaders. They've been in decent nick for the last couple of months, though, Dnipro.
Yeah, both have, really.
Yeah,
you know,
have.
I mean, that Club Brugge lost to Kortrijk at the weekend 2-0, which was their first loss for a while. And have been scoring lots of goals. You mentioned you put one of a guy up who scored in the cup final. He scored an absolute blinder in the cup final. Leo Rafaeloff.
Yes.
Scored an absolute pile driver to beat Anderlecht. And,
I don't think he scored when I put him up, did he?
For Israel. Was it Israel? No, it might have been Israel.
I can't remember who it was for now when we did the international podcast.
I'm thinking it was Israel, but I might be wrong. Anyway, but you know, they were kind of on a crest of a wave then. That defeat may have just hurt them a little bit, but maybe they've got one eye on this game. As you say, you know, Dnipro a good side as well.
It is Israel. Correct.
Neither of our goal scorers came up in that preview. Actually, I don't remember. Mine didn't.
Let's not talk for too much longer about that.
Yeah. Bruges, as well as being a good home team, they're a good away team as well. Look at the goals they've scored in Europa League. They drew 0-0 in Torino, and not many teams do get much out of Torino, but they've scored lots of goals everywhere else they've been. 3 at HJK, 4 at Copenhagen, 3 at AAB, and 3 at Besiktas. So they may be confident enough to think, whatever happens in this first leg, we can go away and get a result. 17 goals in 8 matches in those away games for them. So I think a strong result at home, I think they'll think they're through in this game. And I think they could get it. Can you say the second bit of Dnipro for me?
Dnipropetrovsk.
I like it. It's good effort, that.
I was looking at that earlier and I thought, please don't use the second name there.
Yes. Interesting side, Dnipro. You know, their away form in the Europa League is very poor, in my opinion. You know, I just don't. They don't win enough away from home. The only team they've beaten in the last 8 away games is Karabag, 2-1. A few draws in there, but they concede a lot of goals. But, you know, they do score as well. They scored at Inter, scored at Olympiakos, scored at Ajax. Mm. You know, so, you know, they've done all right, to be fair. It's not like they've been terrible by any stretch of the imagination. They've got a player called Yevhen Konoplyanka, who is in great form. Scored the crucial away goal an extra time to put Ajax out in the last round. If Bruges can keep him quiet, then I think maybe, you know, they could relatively easy win this game. I'm going to go for another both teams to score here. Okay. If I get my way, this is going to be a great
we'll enjoy Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, won't we?
Club Bruges will win the game, but I think Dnipro can get on the score sheet. So Club Bruges to win and both teams to score at 7-2. What price is Koplyanka? Just out of interest.
Koplyanka is
14-5.
Konoplyanka,
yeah,
is 14-5 to score any time.
I like that a lot. It's a good price. That he is their best player. So yeah, if you're looking for a goal scorer, that might be worth a little look. But I'll stick with that with my main bet.
All covered on William Hill's InPlay Radio as well, each of Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday night. So make sure you tune in then. Thank you to Mr. Phelps for his preview of the action.
Thank you.
Thank you to you for listening as well. Remember, you can download the podcast on Audio Boom. Just type in William Hill. You can get us on iTunes as well. So make sure you check us out there. And myself, Lee and Derek McGovern back on Thursday this week to preview the Premier League action. You can follow myself and Lee on Twitter as well, at @dkelner and at Lee Phelps.
Good luck with your nap tonight.
Yeah.
We're recording this on Monday. Yeah, DK's got his nap is
Liverpool
-4.
I fancy a 5-0 actually now.
What?
I do fancy a 5-0. I'll be back in that. Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.